Amen. Are you thankful for God that'll go through the fire with you? Thank you, Jesus. I feel like we building the church for 2 years. I feel like we've been through the fire. Somebody had told me before I started that everything that you could imagine will come against you building that church. Amen. Because the devil don't want there to be a new building. Amen. The devil don't want the name of Jesus to be lifted up. Because the Bible said, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not wrestling flesh and blood. We're not fighting people. Amen. We're praying against spirits. Amen. We're praying against the darkness of this world that don't want a church, that don't want there to be light in the city. We've defied that. Amen. We're going to make the light brighter than it's ever been. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So anyway, I'm somewhat an emotional wreck this morning. It's the last service here. There's been a lot of good stuff happening in this building. Many people delivered. Many people changed, filled with the Holy Ghost. Many people that just needed to go to a new level have gone to a new level. It's just been victory after victory, and it's somewhat bittersweet to separate from. We are, I don't know, visual people, I guess, and we connect with visual things, and I understand all that, and we've had great experiences, but, amen, you have to have room to have experiences. It would be a shame for us to not understand there's a whole other world that needs a little more room to experience, amen, what we've experienced, and so we're thankful for growth. Thankful for what God's done, and we're moving to a much better place. Amen. We're praying we can get a plumber to show up and hook up one water thing, water fountain today. If they don't, we'll just take the old jug and little cups one more time. The beautiful thing about deadlines is that it makes a lot of stuff get done. I grew up in a church where my pastor would start a major project about 2 weeks before camp meeting every year. And I thought, what is he doing? Does he not know? Now I realize he does know. Amen. You can get a lot of stuff done in a real short period of time if you just set a deadline. Amen. So with that being said, we didn't get everything done. But we got a lot of stuff done. Amen. The ladies will not have to walk across gravel tonight in their high heels. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You'll have more toilets than you've ever seen, maybe. Praise God. God's good to us. I don't want this new building to be like a casual place. I want the sanctuary to be reverenced. And then I know when you're starting church and you got, you know, newer people and just raised all kind of different ways and different cultures. And amen. But the house of God is a place to be reverenced. You read the Bible, they always reverence the sanctuary. Amen. I don't want it to be a place where it's, you know, the McDonald's playground. We got so much space to play. I thought if I could just make that 70 by 70 place a reverenced section of that whole property where people understood when they walked into that square that everything in there is to be reverenced. And amen. Just anyway, I hope you feel my burden, you know, and even more than that, even the platform is a reverence place. And We have, you know, very strict, I would say, kind of holiness guidelines, biblical, but for people to get up on the platform and it's holiness standards, I want people that live it, and you know, not just the outward, but the inward. Amen. I want people on the platform that, I mean, this is a serious place. Amen. Maybe I should have been teaching this for 10 years, but there's only so much time in the day. Why don't you sit down for a minute? Amen. I might just preach before I preach, if that's all right. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, the platform is a very serious place. And, you know, and it grieves me for, you know, like people to treat it like it's, you know, the south wing of the coffee shop, or I don't know. My mama taught me to fear the Lord. And of course, a switch, you know, helped form me as a person and put a fear of God in me. And anyway, when I was little, when I was big, I never just ran up on a platform of a church and without being invited. You know, it's like I would feel like I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing. Amen. Praise God. You know what? When there's order and there's structure, the power of God can do what it wants to do. And so I know we're moving into a new place, and amen, we're going to have the same Holy Ghost, same power, same Spirit, but I want us to reverence that place. And you know, I don't want it to be like graham cracker crumbs all over the pews and, you know, stains on the floor because people brought drinks in. You know, it's a mindset is how you get to God. How you're thinking is how you touch God. You walk in bebopping with, you know, whatever, and you got all your stuff. And, you know, it's like there's got to be a place where you set everything aside and you focus on God. Amen. If you want to touch God, you got to, you know, we will have a coffee shop. I hope people go up there and drink coffee and talk and have fun, teach Bible studies and talk about all kind of great stuff. But when you walk through those double doors, I want it to be a place where you leave your drinks outside and your food outside. And it's kind of like it's God's house, you know, not our house, not your house, not my house, God's house. You know, I thought, you know, even like if I, and I'm just reasoning together with you, I hope you understand. I mean, I've never like, say if you invited me to your house, I wouldn't bring my Kool-Aid onto your couch, you know, unless you said, hey, bring your Kool-Aid over here with you. But just out of respect, because it was yours, you know, I would leave my Kool-Aid in the car. You know, just basic respect for you or whoever I had their house. And I thought, how much more the house of God? Amen. You know, and if you tell me God said bring it, I'm going to pray and see if he really said that. Amen. Because he's been telling me something different. But anyway, but besides all that, the reverence part is the most important part to me. But the other part is we're on a wood floor. And every liquid that drops in the carpet and gets trapped between the carpet and the wood lessens the life of the wood. And more quickly, we got to move the pews and buy $25,000 more worth of carpet and more plywood. Anyway, but that's not even the important part. The important part is I want to create an atmosphere where God can move and God's not irritated with us and God don't have to overlook us. And we want to be an example of what a people of God ought to be. Praise God. Amen. Well, I'm already preaching, maybe. Amen. Y'all want to stand together with me for the reading of the word of the Lord. I want you to open your Bibles to Leviticus, the 24th chapter. And I have been praying, and I have been praying, and I cannot get away from this. And if you went to Ozark Friday night, my sincerest apologies, but you're about to get a double portion of what I preached Friday night. Amen. So anyway, thank you to everybody that has helped on this building. I'm telling you, I don't know how to say thank you enough to everybody. So many people brought stuff, bought stuff, worked, helped, contributed. It's just been people. We got the best, I can tell you. I appreciate every one of you so, so much. Amen. There was people that literally worked 16, 17 hours yesterday. Amen. Trying to get as much as we could done. Somebody asked me, what do you need me to do? I said, this is what you need to do. Act like it's your house and company's coming. Praise God. That's pretty simple. Amen. So anyway, we're not ready for company, but they're coming anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Thank y'all for being here. Prayers are for all those that are sick, traveling. Brother Billy Phillips still in the hospital, needs a touch from God. The Robertsons traveling, pray for them. Different ones. Praise God. Let's have church for just a little while. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Praise God. Leviticus 24 and 10, and the son of an Israelitish woman. Everybody say Israelitish. Whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the, say it again, the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelemeth, the daughter of Debri, the tribe of Dan, of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward, that means they put him in bonds, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp. And let all that heard him and all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. Amen. Well, it's kind of quiet in here. Praise God. There's no rocks up here I'm not going to throw. The 10th verse, one more time. And the son of an Israelitish woman. An Israelitish woman. Praise God. And I want to preach for just a little while from this title, this big word, Israelitish. Amen. Set your Bibles down and lift your hands to the Lord together. Come on, let's ask God to really move. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you join up with somebody right now? Amen. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, God. We praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, pray until you feel the Holy Ghost moving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Come on, hold on another minute. Come on, there's things that need to break in the spiritual realm. Kalabahada. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, God, help us. God, help us today. Strengthen us today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Somebody shout, the devil's a liar. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. I know what was different. I was feeling different. The organ's gone, and then my keyboard player ran off while I was trying to make it through my preliminaries. Praise God. They've already moved to an address. Jane. Anyway, that ain't what I'm talking about right now. Everybody say Israelitish. I was reading my Bible last week. You know how exciting it is to read Leviticus. And sometimes you lose track of where you are, and your mind may wander around, but there's a lot of good stuff in every page of the Bible. And I was in the truck, and I was actually listening to it, and I was thinking about 40,000 different things that needed to get finished in the new church. But the reader that was reading to me, I heard him say, the Israelitish woman. I thought, my Lord, I don't remember that adjective, I guess. I don't know if that's an adjective, a noun, or what is it? My English majors, it's something. But this word, Israelitish, only appears three times in the whole Bible. And I just read all three of them to you just a while ago. And so it's not a word that describes anybody else except for this one woman. She was Israelitish. In all the other places in the Bible, it would call them an Israelite or an Israelites or the descendants of Jacob or the descendants of Abraham, or it would call them Hebrews, but only in this one particular instance was someone called Israelitish. And so I began to study this word. It caught my attention. The Lord kind of stops me every now and then and puts things on my mind, and I begin to study what this means. And so I looked up in the Hebrew what Strong's would call the definition of it, and it was just simply somebody that was of Israel, of the blood of Israel. And so her DNA, her bloodline, her family, her heritage, her name, it was all Israelite. For the Bible said she was from the tribe of Dan. But I kept on studying, and I thought, my Lord, for the Bible to describe this one person in all the Bible as this, using this Hebrew word, and for the English translators to use this English word Israelite and then put a suffix on the end, ish. I thought, my Lord, why would they do that? And so I just kept studying, kept reading about the English language and why we do what we do. And you got to understand that the Bible was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And there was just a bunch of really smart men that took the Bible, and they would take the words, and not just the Hebrew words, but what the meaning of, or what they was trying to convey to the reader. And so the English translators took these three words, and they put the English word Israelite-ish when it pertained to this woman. And so in the English language, I began to study again stuff I hadn't studied in 40 years. I never thought I'd say something like that. Hallelujah. I began to study, why do the English people, Old English, New English, why do we put the word ish on words? So I looked it up and Google, I started to say the Bible says, but Google says ish is used in informal context to indicate an approximation. Everybody say approximation. Or a rough quality of something. Amen. We use ish on words to describe something that is somewhat.
or approximately something. It is added to words to indicate that the subject of the sentence is kind of. Y'all gonna help me preach a while? Is this all right for the old building one more time? Let me give you some examples of ish. When we say her hair is brownish, that means it's sort of brown, but not really brown. Not fully brown, it's brownish. We see a guy that's kind of tall, we say he's tallish, but not real tall. Not as tall as they get, but sort of tall. When we say they're childish, we're not saying they are a child. They're just kind of got a few similarities of being a child. So when we say church is going to start at 7:15-ish, it's never started at 7:15. We may start a minute early, which never happens, or 4 or 5 minutes late. And so we say ish when we are trying to say approximately, sort of, we're shooting for 7:15. Amen. By genealogy, this woman was an Israelite. Amen. By family, she was full-blooded Israelite. Well, it's quiet in here. Amen. But when it comes down to living for God and keeping the commandments of God and purposing her life to live for God, it wouldn't be fair to call her Israelite. So the writers of the Bible just called her. Well, hallelujah. She's just kind of Israelitish. Amen. Why would you say that? Well, first of all, you got to look at her desires. Instead of trying to find a boy that was in the church to marry, she started looking in the world. She found her an Egyptian man to marry, and she ended up with an Israelitish little boy. It's getting kind of quiet. Hallelujah. It would not be fair to say that this woman was Israelite when everybody else is doing everything they know to do right, to follow the laws of God. And this woman's in the congregation, but she ain't living like the congregation. You can't say she's... Hallelujah. She's ish. Amen. She's Israelitish. She's approximately Israelite. Sorta Israelite. Kinda. Well, y'all looking at me like... If they gave you a suffix, what would yours be? Well, they're sort of hanging in there. They sort of living it. Hey, man, I don't want to be an ish. Come on, I'm going to help somebody. I don't want to be an ish. I want to be full-blooded. Hey, just because you sit on a pew, you don't get the title. You got to have it in your heart. You got to have it in your spirit. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me tell you about Israelitish people. They always raise Israelite as children. And the Bible tells us a story about an Israelite woman who raised a boy that wanted to fight with everybody. He was a troublemaker. Hallelujah. Amen. You want to affect the next generation? Get the suffix off of your name and become a true blue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I began to read the story about the boy. Amen. That they put their hands on him and threw rocks at him until he was dead. I thought, my Lord, it really wasn't even his fault. See, I wondered if I should have preached it at a youth rally or at a grandma and grandpa, mom and dad rally. I'm not in no hurry. The hard part's over with. I said the hard part's over with. The boy, because he was raised by an Egyptian and an Israelitish mama, he just thought it was his responsibility to go run his mouth all. Let me tell you where church trouble comes from. Let me turn around this way and preach a while. Let me tell you where church trouble comes from. It comes from Israelitish mamas and Egyptian daddies. Daddies that won't come out of the world and mamas that are just hanging on both sides. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's still the Holy Ghost, Word of God. Hey, come on, mama. It's time to get real. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach a little while now. Amen. I want it down deep in my heart. I don't want anybody to say, well, he's sort of in church. He's sort of holiness. He's sort of this. He's sort of that. I don't want a sort of. I want them to say, my Lord, that guy right there, that woman right there, she's the real deal. She ain't one way in church and another way in the world. Well, take this whole world and give me Jesus. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Hallelujah. Amen. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? They in trouble. And if the righteous scarcely be saved. Somebody needs to get the fear of God in them. It ain't worth it to play. I'm talking about the righteous. Not the ones doing 90% of what they think's right. Come on, not the holiness Sunday and mascara Monday. But I'm talking about true blue. My Lord, if you're living it so everybody else can see you, you got the wrong memo anyway. This ain't between you and somebody else. This is between you and God. He's the one looking. Amen. The Bible said the righteous are going to scarcely be saved. The people doing everything right are just going to. And I say this a lot, but it's probably one of the most important scriptures in the whole Bible, because I feel like some people think, man, I got a lot of room, a slack I can play with. I pray every day. I wear this kind of clothes. I do this and whatever you think you do. There's no slack, my friend. The one doing everything they know is just, the word means it's going to squeeze in. gonna barely make it. You know what I would do with every temptation in this world? I'd get it out of my house. I'd get it out of my closet. I'd get it out of my car. I'd get it out of my head. I'd get it off my playlist. I'd get it off my music list. Because the righteous are just going to squeeze through. You know what I'm saying? The Israelites are going to make it. But the Israelitish, they're going to be in trouble. I want everybody to be saved. I said I want everybody saved. I want everybody to click in their mind. My Lord, it's now. Now is the time. Hallelujah. We're not promised tomorrow. Amen. Don't let success mess your mind up. Well, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns because I'm so blessed. Not knowing that your days are counted. Your days are numbered. Amen. I don't care if you're 15 years old. You'll be 50 in like 2 weeks. You'll go to work about 2 weeks and vacation one day, and you'll be 50. I don't know how it happens, but it happens. Amen. It's like a vapor. I'm thinking, my Lord, 50. That's half of 100. God help me. God help everybody that's past 50. That second number don't bother me really too much. But when that first number changed, it's like a... Remember turning 30, I think I went into low-key depression. Not turning 40. 50, my Lord. I remember being young and somebody would tell me they was 50 and I thought, I'm so sorry. But they're about to die. Praise God, y'all don't say that about me. Amen. 50's young, ain't it, Brother Carl? Come on, somebody help me. 50's young, ain't it? It's just a number anyway. That's what they used to say. Hallelujah. But it's like a vapor. You see it for a second, and then it's gone. I'm telling you, during the time of that vapor, amen, live for God with all your heart. Don't get distracted trying to keep up with the world, trying to look like the world. Hallelujah. Let them have their own music. Let us have our own music. Come on. Let them have their own entertainment. This is what we do for entertainment. We go to church. We feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Israelitish people ain't gonna make it. Hallelujah. Amen. My prayer is, God, I want this church to be so righteous and so powerful and so anointed. Amen, that we turn the city upside down. Amen, I've got a burden. I'm going to preach a little while. Amen, then you can do what you want to do, and we're going to go celebrate in a new building. Amen, but this Bible's still right. I know the pressure's on young people, and you're around, you see things, and amen. But let me tell you something. If you can't be on social media without them drawing you, without them pulling you. Let me just tell you something. You don't need it. Is that too hard? Man. One thing I love about being 50 and the Lord hasn't come back yet is that I wasn't a teenager when he came back. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, he's going to come back and there's going to be teenagers. And they're going to have to be right. Just like they right. When you see the signs, you got to realize you can't be like another generation was. You can't listen to other people's testimony that they went and sowed their wild oats and God had mercy on them and they made it back. Thank God it happened. But what if your generation is the one the Lord comes back in? Come on, I feel the fear of God in this house. There's going to be teenagers. When the trumpet blows, there'll be 100-year-olds and there'll be teenagers. And it don't matter. He's going to open the books. This is why I got such a burden for young people as well as older people. Lift your hands to the Lord together. Tell you, time deceives people. The Bible would say there would come a day when they're just going to say, you know what? I've been hearing that the Lord's coming forever and he ain't come back yet. They're going to be deceived because of time. Amen. Young people think in their heart, I've got plenty of time. When I'm 30, I'm going to settle down. I'm going to do right. When I get 40, I'm going to do right. Hallelujah. Amen. And if there's no fear of God in them, they'll just think that. I want to tell you the greatest blessing I ever got was a mama that put the fear of God in me. That's why I'm worried about that 70 by 70 square over there. That'll be part of instilling the fear of God in young people. See, when they get a fear of God, they're going to be scared if they do wrong, something's going to get them. If there's no reverence and no fear, there's no boundaries. See, I got so much to preach and I'm gone, so. But you learn boundaries by somebody with a belt. That said, if you take that tea in that living room, I'm going to bust your tail. So you took the tea and you went in the living room anyway. Then you got your... See, you got to back up what you say. See, when my mom or my dad said, if you take that tea in the living room, I'm going to bust your tail. Is this all right? And if I did what I wanted to do, be sure your sins will find you out. I don't care if they're in there or ain't, somebody's going to tell on you. Then you get a whooping, and then you connect that pain with what you were told. And the dots start connecting. When I do wrong, I get pain. I don't anymore. I think I'll drink my tea in the kitchen. Well, hallelujah. You can't have a fear of God if you never had a fear of parents. How could you fear something you've never seen if you couldn't even fear somebody in your own household telling you what to do? Hallelujah. If they don't fear getting in trouble by you, they'll sure never fear God. But when they get an understanding, there's somebody above me. Now, praise God, you can be seated. I don't advocate beating kids. I advocate breaking their will. Because you ain't got to beat them if you break their will. Amen. Hallelujah. I had two of them that were like, you could just look at them and they were broken. And then I had a third one that would look at you and raise his chin up like, here we go. We did the old, I'm fixing to pick you up. We fixing to walk out of this church. And I'm going to teach you something. Hallelujah. And while I'm on it, he didn't get to scream all the way to the door either. See, I believe in democracy. I put my hand on his mouth. And you can either try to scream or shut up and breathe. They always decided to just breathe. Amen. I let them vote. Whatever you want to do. Hallelujah. That's just while I'm on it. Anyway, I was a great parent. I let them vote how they want. You can keep trying to, if you want. And you, praise God. But one day, it's like, I don't know, he was 7 or 8 or something. All of a sudden, it just clicked. I'm not the boss. Been an angel, I guess, ever since. Amen. Guess what? He fears the Lord, too. See, how can they humble themselves before God if they never learn to humble themselves before man? Hey, praise God. Maybe I'll preach the message tonight. Who knows? But it blows my mind when parents, they start throwing the fit. Why are you doing that? I'm thinking they're 20 pounds. You're at least 100, if not more. And they're telling you what to do. They're controlling your life. Let me preach to you a little while. God made you the parent. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise God. I don't even know what I was preaching about now. Praise God. Oh, I was preaching about my mama. Amen. She called me last night. I didn't call her back. Y'all forgive me. I was so tired. Praise the Lord. I'll call her back after a while. Amen. She's probably watching right now. God's been good to me. I'm going to tell you, my mama wasn't Israelitish. She was a real deal. When it was preached, my mom did it. Not did just my mom do it. 6 kids did it too. So, see, some people get all bowed up. Well, oh, I'm not going to listen to a man. Well, if you can't trust the man pastor, you need another pastor. I'll just tell you that. You need to find somebody that can preach the word of God to you. Somewhere you can be saved. Because this is God's plan. This is what God wanted. So when the pastor preached, of course, you know, I'm not saying whatever man preached or whatever. If they don't preach the Bible, that's a whole different deal. If you find something I preach that ain't in the Bible, come see me. I'll show you exactly where it is. But when my mom, she was full-blooded. Is the live stream messed up? Good. You don't have to turn it off then. So you can hit, if you're recording, hit pause right now. But my mom, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I know the pressure's on to conform to the world. Amen. I understand it. But when you got the Holy Ghost, listen to me. You got power. Don't tell me you can't live right. Don't tell me you can't lay sin down. Don't tell me you can't lay nicotine down. Don't tell me you can't lay perversion down. If you got the Holy Ghost, you got power. It bothers me when people say, I can't do it. You're saying my God ain't very big, and I know he's big. I know. Well, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. The problem is people lack stuff in the world. Just like this woman. She liked Egyptians. Well, I like their whatever. The way they do their hair. Love not the world. Or the things in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you. You know what that means? You can't love him and them at the same time. You got to make up your mind. I'm not going to be Israelitish. Well, I got about one third of the church with me, I feel like. It's okay. I'm going to keep on. You'll thank me if you make it to heaven. Help me. It's almost 12. I'm going to preach about 5 or 10 more minutes. And then I'm going to be done. Don't be conformed to this world. You know what keeps you from being conformed to the world? By being transformed. By the renewing of your mind. How are you going to renew your mind? Are you going to listen to Joel Osteen tell you how rich you're going to be? No, this is how you renew your mind. You take the word of God that's been preached to you and what you've read and what you memorized, and you get underneath the pew or get on an altar, you get with God, you get in a closet somewhere, and you let that word of God begin to renew your mind. The enemy's telling you you're a loser all day, but the word said you're more than a conqueror. So you got to make up your mind. I got to renew my mind. I've been listening to this doubt all day long. I'm about to renew my mind. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm going over. I'm not going under. I'm above. You got to say it. You got to think it. You got to pray it. You got to repeat it. You got to renew it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've really done something. I don't want to be an ish. I want to be full-blooded. Through and through, inside, outside. Hallelujah. I don't want to be Pentecostal-ish. I don't want to be apostolic-ish. Hallelujah. What do people see when they see you? I know what I see when I see some people at Sam's and Walmart and wherever, Conway, wherever. I don't name any towns where I don't know anybody. Hey, honey, are they? They kind of look Pentecostal-ish. I tell you, the issues ain't going to make it. By the fear of God, I'm preaching to people. Hallelujah. I'd rather have 20 people, amen, make it all the way than a bunch of people think they're going to make it. Yeah. amen, and not make it. Amen. I'm not. I hope you understand. I'm doing this in love the best I can do it, but I got to do this. Amen. The Word of God is serious business. It's heaven and hell. It's life and death. Hallelujah. Will y'all give me about 5 minutes and we'll go do something. This troubles me, Joshua 7:20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. He said, I've sinned. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly, everybody say goodly. It was goodly. Babylonish garment. Hallelujah. Not fully Babylonian. Just kind of Babylonish. It's kind of quiet in here. I wish none of this was even in the Bible. It'd be a lot easier for me. I'd just say, just come as you are, stay as you are, dress as you are, love, have your own. Amen. God loves who you really are. No, He don't. He loves what you can be. Amen. He looks inside of you. He sees potential. While you're still in sin, He loved you and said, come on. Come out of that. Well, praise God. Amen. Amen. I don't want to be ish. Amen. I'm tired of Pentecostal-ish stuff. I want Pentecostal power. Power. If you don't think God cares about the inside and the outside, let me tell you, Samson lost all of his power. Not just because of something he did on the outside, but it began on the inside when it didn't matter anymore. He let his standards down on the inside. You think he was like a moral man? Not at all. Over and over and over and over. He let his inward standards down. And it wasn't very long till those things that he allowed in his life begin to mess up his outward standard. And when the inward and the outward began to match, he didn't even realize what had happened. This is the scary part. There's people, hey man, they think, boy, I got it just like I've always had it. But you may not know till you need the power. Then you jump up just like you always done. In Jesus' name. Nothing happened. He thought he was going. Come on, Samson. You got to be real. Boy, it's quiet in this place, but y'all still love me? I still love all y'all. Man, it's got to be real. It's got to be deep. I'm going to tell you the power. It's how you know the power will be there. When you go to pray and you can't really feel God, or you got to take 2 hours to get a breakthrough, and 40 people shaking you, and, amen, and screaming at you, Jesus' name, for you to feel God. If you can't touch God all by yourself, something's wrong with you. If you got to grab somebody, amen, to if every Sunday's got to be Palm Sunday, you know, somebody's got to put their palm on your head and shake you before you, oh, yeah, I felt it then all of a sudden. You're an ish. You're not living it Monday through Friday and Saturday. Something's disconnected. Hey, man, I'm trying to get us to a new level. Hey, man. Come on. I believe God's got revival for this church. You can't be ish. You got to be real. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not here, but I'm also kind of tired of Pentecostal-ish preaching. Hallelujah. All the places I've been is, let me give you this neat little revelation that I got. Ain't this cool? And you shout and forget what it's all about. That's not, let me tell you what true apostolic Pentecostal Bible preaching does. He didn't ask the men on the day of Pentecost, so how do you feel? After the sermon, how do y'all feel? Could you describe it in 3 words or less? I'm your counselor. Whoever was writing it said they were pricked in their heart. Meaning whoever was writing was looking at them people like, oh my Lord, they're wrecked right now. They must have had some looks on their face like, oh. It pricked them to the heart. Real preaching convicts you. How can you change if nothing convicts you? How can you change if you put up a wall in front of the preacher? You're not getting to me. I got my spiritual windshield wipers going. You ain't getting me. I'm not trying to get anybody. It's the word that you gotta. This is God ordained. He said by the foolishness of preaching, he was gonna save people. But you gotta believe it. Well, I don't. Let's get all that world out of us. When we go over there, amen, let's say whatever the Bible says, I'm going to do it. Whatever. I want to live it. I'm not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. 5 more minutes and I'll give you 5 tonight because you probably ain't even going to let me preach tonight. I got a feeling. No, I may just stop you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm tired of Pentecostal-ish worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. First of all, you need to learn the difference between what praise and worship are. Praise is comely. The Bible said it's beautiful. But praise is not beautiful if there's no worship behind it. I don't care how many people are bouncing. If worship is, a lot of times when you read in the Bible, it's flat on the face. It's adoration. It's submission to God. Amen. And when somebody submitted, oh, it's quiet. When somebody's really submitted to God, and that person begins to praise God, that person begins to clap their hands. It's like some, it's a different sound. Where's my tambourine? Oh. Hey, anybody can shake a tambourine. But when they're living the life and they're praying every day and they start to shake a tambourine, it's a sound of victory. Pentecostal praise comes from a heart of worship. If you ain't living the life, don't bounce up and down. Bounce down to the altar and get on your face and repent. Then get up and bounce. Come on, stand together with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, praise God. This is what you call hope. my notes to the side and tell Sister Alicia to come back after she deserted me. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what's powerful? Is when people begin to praise God with a heart full of dedication to God. Let me tell you something. I want everybody bouncing. Even if your ankles will let you or whatever. My left one lets me sometimes. It made me happy if everybody was jumping and running and shouting. But not if it's real. Hallelujah. I don't want them to say that that's a wild church, but it not be a real wild church. Yeah. Hallelujah. I love it wild. I grew up in a wild church. But I grew up in a real wild church. Where the people that were praising God were the ones that were signing in every day and praying. The ones that couldn't get there were at the house praying. They were living the life. They were searching their heart every day. God, I don't want to be an ish. True blue. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Come on, let's do a couple minutes of worship and then a couple minutes of praise. For a couple minutes, I want you to cry out to God. I want you to make some commitments to God. Come on, I know it's late. It's our last service here. Come on, just a few minutes. I want you to worship Him. I want you to dedicate your life to Him. I want you to tell Him how much you really love Him. I want you to tell Him how committed you are to Him. Come on. Come on all across the house. Come on, don't let bitterness hang you up. Don't let the past hang you up. Come on, just a few minutes. I surrender my life, God. Come on, worship. Worship is this. God, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Not my will, but thy will be done. God, don't let me mess up my life. You order my footsteps. God, I can't walk without you holding my hand. Come on. That's worship. I need you, God. I can't make it on my own. Oh, come on and you pour your heart out. Jesus, 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 you've been good to me. Thank you for not giving up on me, God. Thank you for pulling on me, Lord. Thank you, God, for your long suffering. Thank you for touching us. Oh, bye, 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 bye. Come on, just another minute or two. I want you to pour your heart out. Hallelujah. Tell Him. Tell Him I'm dedicated. Tell Him I'm committed, God. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. Oh, from this day forward. Hallelujah. Hadabahata. Hadabaha. Ha. 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 I say, come on. Come on, some deep worship. Come on, from the deepest parts of your heart. Come on, the deepest cavities of your soul. Pour your heart out to Him. I'm dedicated. I'm consecrated. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come on, say what you need to say to Him. Come on, go ahead and tell Him what you need to tell Him. Come on, don't let the enemy shut you up. God, I gotta have it. God, I gotta have it. Oh, God. Come on. God, I want to be a true Israelite. Oh, Rabbah. Every spirit from hell would torment people's minds, would lock people down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just a few more moments. Cry out to Him. Come on, dedicate whatever you need to dedicate to Him. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Not my will, not what I want. Oh, Jesus, I crucify this flesh, I mortify the deeds of this body. I worship You, Jesus. I worship You in all humility. Come on. Come on, just when you feel a transition. I want everybody to start praising Him. Come on. Come on, when you're through, when you feel peace in your spirit, I want you to transition and I want you to start praising Him. Come on, it won't be everybody at the same time. I want you to worship Him till you feel it. Come on, we're going to leave this building with a shout. Not an empty praise, but a praise.